We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour. Hope everybody is doing well out there. A very happy 4th of July. Hopefully. I mean, I know people are still working today, depending on what you do, but hopefully you're enjoying a morning off, getting to relax today, and celebrate Independence Day. Greg Likens here alongside Dave Hyde. Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well as we continue on here. We talked about this a couple of hours ago. I'm sure that some people in our audience were not awake and yet, and maybe weren't moving around or listening to the radio. But Dave, do you have any big plans today for 4th of July?
Minimal plans.
Okay,
minimal. You do though. You got the whole neighborhood coming over. You got
apparently
you're gonna have kids to play with in the pool. Evidently at 10:30 in the morning when you get home from this show.
That's what I'm concerned about. Although I feel like I need to make sure I put some sunscreen on because I feel like I may fall asleep on one of the floats. Right, that's gonna at some point in you do this morning shift, and I know you were here yesterday. You and I'll be back here tomorrow morning with Biff, but at a certain point, if you get up that early, you'll hit a wall, right? If you didn't, like, unless you went to bed last night at like 8 o'clock or something, which I did not do. By the way, I was trying to stay up to watch at least part of the U.S. men's soccer match, and then they had a weather delay. And so there's weather delay. And so, like, I went to sleep. It was still 1-0. They ended up winning 3-1 against Jamaica. So they're going to go to the Gold Cup final against Mexico, which is good. It pales in comparison to the World Cup final for the women, but it's still good for the men. But, yeah, like, I had no shot staying up to watch that, knowing the wake-up call was going to be 4-something in the morning.
The worst thing about doing this show for me is it's like getting an early flight. If anybody's had, like, a 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. flight, you're waking up in the middle of the night. What time is it? Oh, it's only 2:30. What time is it? Oh, it's 3:45. And that's when I do this show sporadically. That's my real complaint.
And so you were waking up repeatedly
in the middle of the night. Yeah. I'm gonna nap.
The same thing happened to me. I woke up so many different times, and I ended up waking up before my alarm went off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I kept going back to sleep, and I woke up before my alarm went off because I was paranoid I wasn't gonna wake up. And I don't know if it was just because that's just the way I am. You're responsible too. You want to be here. You say we're supposed to be here. And then what's going to happen if we don't show up? But also, I think I was just scared that Biff might do the whole show himself.
And, as Pharrell.
Yeah, and then I just wanted to make sure that the South Florida audience
could not do that to them. I would be just sitting here being like, so, sports. Just going, literally reading off SportsCenter. What
hot dogs.
Doing.
Yeah, right? You're just giving his ranking of hot dogs and who knows what else.
Well, just different kinds of meats, just pretty. I don't know that many kind of different hot dogs, really.
So I experienced the exact same thing, Dave. I woke up at 1:30 and then 2:30 and 3:30.
And I don't have that dream of where I miss the test. Evidently that's the common stereotypical dream. You get late.
Like a panic dream.
Yes. I don't have it. But like early air flights, especially out of towns I want to get out of, and doing this sporadic radio show, Joe Rose's radio show at 6 a.m, I have that, that's infuriating. I just want a night's sleep,
Right. Well, we are happy to be here, despite the unsettled sleep pattern from last night. And throughout the day, if you want to text, we're talking to different 4th of July plans. You got anything fun, exciting happening, you can text us 560-22, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We were debating as to whether you go out of your way to see fireworks tonight. I'm sure like you were talking about, you can just walk down to the water near where you live and you get a vantage point of like five different towns or cities that are doing different fireworks displays. That's cool to me. Even though you're not right there next to it, you see that, especially over the water, that's got to be beautiful.
You've mentioned that a couple times. I will invite you over, Greg. I get where you're going with this. You could just say, hey, can I come over with these young kids? They might be tired by then, right?
They might be.
If you haven't worn them out, you can bring them over and they might fall asleep during the... But maybe I'll watch the hot dog eating contest today too.
Well, we've talked so much about it.
I'm not sure.
I am now intrigued. I'm like you. Like in the years past, I've flipped it on, but I've never really sat down and watched it. I always see the highlights, and the whole thing is really disgusting.
Yeah,
it is.
The dunking of the bread. I just can't get over putting wet bread down your throat. And I get they aren't really eating, they're ingesting. They're like a tarpon sucking down whatever's in their way.
And as you pointed out before, they're just temporarily eating it as well.
Yes. Yeah. That's the great untold story here, I'm sure. Some investigative reporter. And 30 for 30, I'm just stunned.
Well, they may have. I just did not see it.
If they did, it would have been the discussion point of on Twitter or something. Somebody would have talked about it, right?
Well, I do know that they did go in detail, you know, about Kobayashi, not just the fact that he's had this issue with Major League Eating, but also he, you know, this is much like Kevin Durant sustaining the ruptured Achilles. He suffered from a jaw injury. I mean, if
really?
You're a competitive eater, that has got to be...
He came back from that?
The most debilitating thing. And yet he came
How
back.
How many months was he out? Did he miss? I bet he missed the Kielbasa tournament in Warsaw, didn't he? He went back for that.
That's what hurt him the most. Yeah. That's one of his
favorite
events.
What did he injure on?
No, he just had, I guess it was
a chronic degenerative
some sort of jaw injury.
From opening his jaw wider than necessary?
I suppose, yeah, depending on the type of food that
was it the steak eating tournament in Argentina probably threw it over the top, having to ingest. So that's interesting that they came back from injury.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it's really quite a heroic story. It is. It inspires all of us today.
Eat another hot dog.
He's not even, as most people know, he's not even from here, but he's a patriot either way because he's come back from such a thing. What was you already told us the word hot dog in Swedish?
Varmkorv.
Varmkorv. So, yeah, I think he missed out on the Varmkorv tournament. In Stockholm as well, yeah.
I wonder now, are these guys versatile eaters? In other words, you know, like a great three-point shooter oftentimes can't do a lot of other things.
Right.
Is Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut, are they versatile fast eaters? Or have they just got the technique down for this disgusting... You know, let's put down 60 hot dogs into our body temporarily.
are they well-rounded eaters? Is that what you're
right,
asking?
Yeah.
It sounds like, I've heard some of these guys interviewed and all this, it sounds like they'll eat just about anything.
They can put it down.
Yeah, it
whatever
doesn't matter
it
what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, like, the hot wing dynamic, that's got to be interesting because, you know, the hot dogs, it's just, yeah, you eat the hot dogs, whatever. But the hot wings, you've got to deal with... Both the flavor and the, you know, literally the hotness in your mouth while also trying to eat as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's become, you know, speaking of food and sports, the Hot Wings has become a show. Have you seen that show? I forget what it's called, but where a guy interviews athletes while they eat hot wings and they move on to hotter and hotter. And the one with Shaq, I am told, is a must watch.
He must be sweating.
Yeah. And he said, you know, he can eat, and you get the nuclear wings in there, you know, and he's eating those. And so that'd be an interesting discussion point for a show that gets hotter as it goes along.
Well, I think we've already determined we would not be allowed to do that here, considering the rules that we have for everything.
What happened? Okay, it's July 4th. What happened to America, seriously? When the lawyers are stepping in, you can't even eat 10 hot dogs without a lawyer stepping in here and saying, we're not going to allow that.
Right. And so for those who don't know, Dan Day, who's been producing the Midday Show, he had been promoting. I saw it on his social media accounts that yesterday after the show, he was going to attempt to eat 10 hot dogs in 10 minutes and the buns. So I don't know if he was going to dip or not. I didn't ask him if he was going to dip the the buns or not. But I thought that was
I hope not.
That was a personal question. I decided to leave that alone. But yeah, so I see him yesterday, and he says, "No, they told me I was not allowed to do this because you know corporate and the lawyers stepped in and said that there was a liability concern."
What if they had an EMS guy there ready to do the Heimlich in case something happened? I mean, what's the liability? What liability are we talking?
Well, here's the other thing, Dave. Like, couldn't he have just like driven out of here and gone down the street to some place that sells hot dogs?
You're saying he didn't want it. That's what you're saying.
Well,
right?
I mean, my point is, like, if you don't do it on company property, you just do it on your own time.
Or maybe they just saying, maybe nobody here is allowed to eat hot dogs. Could that be?
The lawyers have no hot dog facility.
Yeah,
the
lawyers found out how hot dogs are made. They're like, we don't want anybody subjected to that.
No.
Yeah.
Your health package.
Right. Your benefits don't kick in if you eat hot dogs.
Well, I know I'm more recent hire than Greg you are for this company, but they did test me for hot dogs when I did go in. So I had to make sure I didn't eat hot dogs.
Look
for a
pig snout. There's no remnant of pig snout in them.
Now, Biff, I mean, I don't mean to pick on you or anything, but I have to admit they did not test me for that or anything else. I don't think they don't seem to care about any of that stuff. But I don't know, something about you where they determined you may have a hot dog problem.
There's been a couple posts about hot dogs before, and they heard about my fork and knife eating, so they assumed I'm a hot dog connoisseur.
Yeah, they said, you know what, we gotta check this guy, see what's going on. We can't have any illegal hot dog.
I'm just curious. Okay, they stepped in because he said I'm gonna eat 10 hot dogs, right? What if he had said 5?
Oh, was there a limit? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it goes back to Nathan's versus the U.S. District Court of in New York that anything over 5 hot dogs, you could be sued for. But 5 and under, you're okay.
Yeah, 5 and under, fair game. Whatever you want to do, live stream it. We'll help you set it up. Yeah, all I know is that Dan, either he was just providing an elaborate excuse not to actually go through with it. But he had this look on his face, Dave, like he had received a stern talking to. Like one of those things where I'm sure whoever he spoke to on the other line was like, how come you didn't realize you had to run this by us first kind of thing?
A stern talking to over hot dogs.
Yes.
That's like, great.
Over your hot dog stunt that you're going to pull.
I like the thought we had earlier about, and a couple people would text it on, that is hot dogs the most disgusting food out there?
Well, right. And so you brought up some good points. So if we've got people here who are tuning in, who have traveled internationally, been to other places, what is the most disgusting item of food that you could come up with, right? Because you named, Dave, you named some vile things, I got to admit.
Guinea pig in Peru. Now, and I actually looked this up since then, and I forgot. It's not just that they eat guinea pig. It is considered a delicacy in Peru. It is considered really, and if you unwrap your mind of the guinea pig and think of things we eat, the Cornish hen, the frog legs, some people. I mean, is there really, and it gets back to my idea, food is oftentimes more mental than anything else.
Very true.
But I did look up some things that are pretty really gross. I just put disgusting food to eat. And whole sheep's head, soft-boiled fetal duck.
Fetal duck.
Gelled moose nose.
Oh.
I mean, you can come up with some really interesting food around the world.
Yeah, that's for sure. If you want to contribute, 560-22 is how you text us. 560-22, Kendall Toyota West, Kendall Toyota text line. We'll come back. We'll read some of the texts that are rolling in here. Plus, we will talk some Miami Heat basketball, I promise, as on 4th of July, we're having a little fun here today. That's Dave Hyde, Greg Likens, in for the big dog and Zach Krantz. We'll be right back. Welcome back here on this 4th of July edition of the Joe Rose Show with Zach Krantz, Greg Likens, Dave Hyde filling in. Matt the Biff Wilson with us as well. We're taking you up until 10 o'clock. Hope everybody is having a great start to your Independence Day. Got a lot of people texting different foods on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022. Want to read some of those. We also got some basketball talk coming in as well. Dave, somebody simply just says, hey, thanks for filling in today and tomorrow, guys. Really appreciate it.
Wow.
Happy to be here. That's very nice.
Upbeat talk radio texts. Yeah. I didn't know those existed.
We have to acknowledge those because they don't happen very often. We have two with this, two different texters submitting the same thing. Somebody says head cheese is disgusting. Somebody else says head cheese as well. Have you ever had that?
I don't even know what head cheese is. I've heard of it.
I looked it up, and it says head cheese or brawn is a cold cut that originated in Europe. A version pickled with vinegar is known as sous. Head cheese is not a dairy cheese, but a terrine, or meat jelly, often made with flesh from the head of a calf or a pig.
Yeah, anytime you're making something from the head of a calf or what? Or sheep?
A pig.
A pig?
It's less commonly a sheep or a cow, but usually a calf or a pig.
Yeah, that would definitely rank up there as, and I guess they use the word cheese loosely because we're really talking brain, it sounds like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not cheese at all. That's why I read that. I was like, oh, head cheese, what is this? Is this some sort of cheese I've never had before? I looked it up and there's a picture. I was like, oh, that looks like meat.
Okay, that would rank up on most disgusting food list, yeah.
It would, and I would argue that would be a terrible eating contest to have, surrounded by, have your contest revolve around the idea of like, okay, who can eat the most head cheese at once?
Who can eat the most guinea pigs at once? You know, really do one of these contests that, you know, the thing about the hot dog is it has a veneer of acceptability, right? It looks pretty good. It looks, edible. And then, but as we've talked, if you list the ingredients, not of these all beef hot dogs, but the common ones, the a dozen for $1.25 or whatever, that might rank up with the head sheep.
Yes, but I would say, like, within the sports concept, though, or context, I should say, there's nothing more American than going to like a baseball game and eating a hot dog, right? Like that seems to be part of the America's pastime experience, right? Going to the ballpark. Now, I don't know what kind of ballpark franks they're using as far as the contents of that meat, but that's something that seems very American, especially like on a 4th of July if you go to a game.
Yeah, I think they must be putting the best meat out there because it costs $9.95 to get a hot dog at a game.
Right. You just assume they're using the best, right? We have some other submissions here. Somebody says a fermented fish dish from Sweden. Can't remember the name, but it was god awful.
Fermented. Wow. Yeah. I remember going to the Olympics in Norway, and like I spent time in Sweden, I spent time in Denmark, but Norway. You'd go into the cafeteria, the cafeteria for meals, and they would have salmon served five different ways, in different sauces, and all of them were good. But after, a month of it, you're like, let me move on from this.
So you eat this all the time?
Yeah, it must be. It was, and again, it was good, but a lifetime of it might be a little much.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I like salmon every once in a while, but that sounds like it could be a bit much. Somebody else here says snakes or alligator tails.
Yeah, I don't know. Alligator, I thought people liked alligator tails. I don't know. Tastes like chicken.
I don't know. I have not dabbled in that, although, somebody's, I don't know if they're just submitting this as disgusting or just something that is unique.
Okay, now I'm going back in my mind. Australia, I had kangaroo pizza. Yeah, kangaroos.
This wasn't like a nickname for a pizza, this was like
No, this was actual kangaroo on a pizza, which was, I guess kangaroo is sort of like buffalo. in that it's considered, buffalo is considered the healthier meat because it's less fat and leaner. And I guess I think the same idea applies.
But there are enough kangaroos in Australia that they...
Yeah, the rumors are they do have kangaroos there. They also have, in fact, they have these in the United States, ostrich farms.
That's true. Yeah, you've heard about
that.
Yeah. But like with kangaroos, I guess the perception, at least from the American point of view, is that it is like this cool, kind of cute animal. I know we do see like the boxing like videos and all that stuff, but like,
yeah,
the
I have idea no idea
that,
whether
idea
it's
that you,
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
But that, whether it's
but kangaroo pizza, that.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre.
That's got to be a little shocking. Yeah. Like, oh, wait, you're eating? You know, like,
yeah, I only did it as, oh, this is bizarre. You
well,
know?
You're there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When in Perth or when in Sydney? I don't know.
Sydney.
Okay. So we got another text that says, I've heard of people eating raccoons.
I can do one better than that.
Mm.
Alan Bailey, remember the University of Miami defensive tackle, plays with the Chiefs?
Yes.
He grew up on a very small island off the coast of South Carolina. So I went up and did a story. The island has a lot of history to it. In a nutshell, a lot of them are descendants of slaves, and they were, you know, bequeathed this island. And Alan Bailey's family is one of them. And so I went to, and it's a very rustic, you have to take a ferry over to the island. Mm. You can't, there's no great access to it. And I'm taking the ferry over, and his dad actually is operating the ferry, and which I didn't know at the time. So go to his house. I meet Alan at his house, and I'm asking him about the place and the history and his family. And he goes, oh, I'll show you something. And he walks out to the cooler, which is a freezer out on their patio, and he picks up plastic bag after plastic bag of frozen raccoon. Frozen raccoons.
So they just had this stockpiled?
And squirrels, yeah, with like their feet cut off for some reason. And that's what they, you know, that was, that's what people ate. So to the texture's message, yes, that actually, not only actually, it's for people who live in certain areas.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. Yeah. This is a regular thing. Wow. Well, and he's a big guy.
Oh, huge. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe there's something to that, right? I mean,
eating.
Well, I guess like these parents out there, they're hoping that their kids have, you know, professional sports aspirations.
Feed them raccoon?
Yeah, well, it seemed to work for them. I don't know, the genetics may have been involved, but you know.
maybe
imagine,
not.
Hey, get some frozen raccoon. Your kid's going to be all jacked up. Okay, we got some more here. Somebody says, my mom is from South Carolina, speaking of which, it says, we've always referred to head cheese as hog head cheese. Okay. Somebody else says delicious hedgehog cheese. So these are different people.
We got conflicting reports on like, head cheese.
Yeah,
here.
The order in which you go there. Somebody says Rocky Mountain oysters. Have you ever had those?
No.
Yeah. Another says... if all of this stuff tastes like chicken, why not just eat chicken? It makes no sense. You pay way more money for some of these other things. Well, part of it's the experience, right? If you're somewhere regionally or geographically, you want to, you know, experience what the local customs are, then that's part of it as well. Now, somebody says chitterlings. Another says lutefisk. Have you ever heard of this?
Lutefisk is it's a type of bottom fish, I believe, but I've never had it.
I looked it up. It says lutefisk is a traditional dish of some Nordic countries, and it's made of aged stockfish or dried/salted whitefish and lye.
Okay, never had it.
It's gelatin
that I know of.
Yeah, so it's that does.
Did you say stockfish? It's like a generic fish that they just have somewhere. That's like what I think of a stockfish.
That's what
like,
that's,
whatever fish is here.
Here we call it catch of the day.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, we kind of catch of the day sounds more appetizing than just the stockfish.
Than amberjack,
right? Or in the case of Alan Bailey's family, the stock raccoon, right?
Yeah, his dad actually got upset that he showed me those. Not upset, but like you don't need to really show people. Okay. People, it doesn't translate. He understood.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like if you're not here, you're just reading about it. Maybe it doesn't go over as well. Somebody says fermented shark in Iceland. It's called hackerel. Or maybe I mispronounced that.
Fermented shark.
It says it's buried in the ground to mature, and it's nasty.
I get it now. Yeah, fermented, as in what year of shark do you want? We have some great 1972 shark we can pull out of the ground for you.
Oh, my goodness. So keep them coming in. This is interesting and, I suppose, disgusting at the same time. What do you have for us, Biff?
So with fermented sharks, I had to look that one up. So it has an ammonia-like smell, and it has a cheese-like texture, while reddish meat from the belly is chewier. So shark with a cheese-like taste.
I didn't know you. First of all, you ate shark.
No, I didn't know that either.
And second of all, fermented.
Right. Of all things.
And buried in the ground.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get, if anybody's from Iceland out there, we need a report on this fermented.
So, yeah, what was wrong with suppose a shark is appetizing and you decided you catch one, whatever. What was wrong with just cooking it like you do normally, right? Like starting a fire or whatever the origins of this is. What was it about the process that you thought, let's bury it in the ground?
I would just think shark meat would be really tough.
I would
really
think so.
Tough to get to. So maybe fermenting it, let's soften it up here a little bit.
Perhaps, but still.
For 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We did get a couple of comments here on Twitter as well, Dave, going back to our basketball conversation. 10-12 management, who likes to chime in on the show, says it makes LeBron look weak as far as pursuing Kawhi. He says he already has a top five player, and he's pushing so hard for another one, shaking my head. He wants the unchallenged, easy way out. Kawhi holding the Lakers hostage anyway to sabotage their team like LeBron did to us in 2014.
Well, what was the criticism of LeBron last year? Nobody goes to play for him. Something's wrong with LeBron. Now the criticism is, oh, he's getting too many people to come play with him. So, I mean, in that sense, LeBron can't win. I mean, either he has nobody following him or, you know, all of a sudden two of the top five players in the league following him. So, look, if you're LeBron, you want as much talent around you as possible, right?
Right.
He would argue, and I could see it's a show of strength that all these guys want to come and play with him. So,
I don't blame him for wanting guys to come play with him, but to me, I think the criticism of LeBron in terms of the timeline and timeliness of this is warranted in that I think the Heat and Heat fans remember back when it took him forever to make his free agency decision, what, back in 2014. I looked this up the other day, I think it was July 8th when he finally made his decision. And he basically had everybody on hold.
It was hostage. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, sure.
And so, like, in that regard, it was like everybody's waiting around. The Heat, of course, weren't going to use up any salary cap space just in case LeBron was going to come back. Like, you can't just all of a sudden go out and sign a bunch of players hoping that or you know, like, kind of as your plan for LeBron leaving. If LeBron says, hey, I'm going to come back, like, you need to make sure you're ready for that because you get the best player in the world still on your team. And everybody was just in this holding pattern, and it did seem like he was just toying with the entire league.
Well, let's also remember back then, it was a historic move for a player. Now it's become much more accepted, but how many players really made the type of move he did at the time? And for him to leave Cleveland to come to... So, you know, now Durant's done it, now... You know, Kawhi did it. Well, he got traded, but guys are there's a lot more movement of and a assembling of superstar teams now, and because of the big three did it.
Very true. They were he especially was a trailblazer there, but I'm even referring to like 2014 when he decided to go back to Cleveland.
Yeah, that was a more
and that's where
manipulative.
Yeah, that's where like you know the Heat are waiting around, and then like. Even Chris Bosh is waiting around to find out what's going on. And it seemed like the NBA was put on pause because LeBron was taking his sweet time. Like, I can't tell if Kawhi Leonard in this current day process is just being Kawhi Leonard. He's taken his time. He's never hit free agency before, so this is his first chance to really be recruited. He wasn't a top-notch recruit out of high school. He ended up at San Diego State, so he's really taking advantage of this entire situation. And it's really his mentality, or at least our perception of his mentality, to be low-key about things and all this and be secretive. I can't tell if it's that, Dave, or if Kawhi Leonard's like playing all of us and actually just loves all the attention. So there was this flurry of activity. Kevin Durant signed immediately. You know, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, like all the different big names off the board in the first less than 24 hours. And now Kawhi Leonard is the only big name we're talking about.
Yeah, but I don't think the little we know about him, I don't think he really is motivated by being the center of attention.
I don't think so either.
Right? So I'll put that off to the side. And I come back to, he must be waiting on something. All the information's been out there for a while. He's had time to think about this leading up to it.
Right.
All, you know, not only since they won the title, but months before that. These agents are, everything's been in play for a while. The only thing I can think of is what I said earlier. The Clippers are the sort of the wild card here. He's given them time to put something into place or at least try to line up something. So if he went there, he wouldn't be the sole guy on a team of a bunch of, you know, lesser beings. And so that's the only thing I can think of, because he knows what Toronto is. You know, the pluses and minuses of playing for Toronto. He knows who the Lakers are now. I mean, the Clippers are sort of a mystery in that they're trying to do something and he's giving them time.
Yeah, that's a good point, because if he joins them now, then what, Lou Williams is the second best player or Gallinari? Or
Beverly, yeah.
Montrezl Harrell. I mean, again, the Raptors have more to work with, seemingly. And the Clippers, they did take the Warriors to six games in the first round without Kawhi Leonard. So there's something to be said for what they have. They got some nice younger players who need to develop. But I'm with you. Like, you join the Lakers or you go back to the Raptors, you're going to be in contention to win the finals again. You go to the Clippers, I don't think that you're an instant contender yet. Like, you're going to be a playoff team.
But you're doing what Jimmy Butler did.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler left a contender. I don't like Philadelphia, but they're a contender. And he came to the Heat, which, again, it's six in the East right now, talent now. But you're the centerpiece, and you're the guy who they can build around for the, you know, next, certainly next offseason, the year after that. You will become the magnet, hopefully, for more talent. But you're certainly the number one option here as opposed to the number three option. Kawhi Leonard, even if he goes to the Lakers, he's going to be the number, and it's very weird to say, three option some nights.
Right.
You know, and he could just as easily be the number one option, but it won't be his team. If he goes to the Clippers, it's his team, but they aren't contending. So they're interesting decision for him.
Yes, and you'd imagine, just like Jimmy Butler, the Clippers' decision would be one in which you're not just doing it for like the here and now, but also him showing up would then lead to more, you know, big name, high profile players wanting to be in LA or with Jimmy Butler here in Miami.
Yeah, he's to me, Jimmy Butler in a whale, as to put it in Pat Riley's context. He's not Kawhi Leonard. He's not, and there are three of them would be on the Lakers now.
Right.
There's what, maybe 7-8 in the league. Okay, and Jimmy Butler's not in that realm. But he becomes their best player, and he is an attractive player to have on your roster and to draw other players here to build. Like if Jimmy Butler had gone to the Clippers, to me it would be an easy decision for Kawhi Leonard from a competitive team standpoint. Okay, I can go to the Clippers. I got Jimmy Butler to play with. We can be a good center of a good team.
Right. Yeah. All makes sense. We'll see. Maybe today we will get the announcement from Kawhi Leonard. Dave, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll read some more of your texts. Plus, I do want to talk about whether Bradley Beal is in the cards for the Miami Heat. We'll get to that coming up next and in the 9 o'clock hour. Stay tuned here on QAM.
Oh Lord, Jesse made another one. Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne. Yeah.
Hey, happy 4th of July to everybody. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Biff is doing some weird dancing.
Is this patriotic? Is this? No, this is. I need a millennial to help me out here.
It's the baby we trust.
No, you just told us who it is, but Dave asks, is this patriotic?
In the baby we trust, of course it's patriotic.
In the baby we trust, as of, I guess we'll take it a couple steps to In God We Trust, to the dollar bill, to America. Is that where we go? Is that where you're going with patriotic?
Like basically, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Biff, always making things interesting around here. Greg Likens, Dave Hyde, filling in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz on this Thursday morning. Appreciate everybody tuning in. If you want to join the show, Kendall Toyota West, Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. We'll be reading. We got some more text rolling in here. We'll read some more of those coming up, especially in the 9 o'clock hour. Dave, something that I've been teasing I want to get to here before before we get to another hour of radio. Do you think the Heat are done? Now, I know that the Heat need to make a couple other moves to get a little more salary off the books. And so whether that be, you know, the Ryan Anderson move, maybe they trade Goran Dragic. But there is this rumor that keeps circulating. And, you know, it's not just like some random rumor. There's a lot of people who have looked into this. And the Heat certainly are interested in Bradley Beal. The question is whether the Wizards are interested in dealing him. And also, it seems that if a deal like this is going to take place, that John Wall's $170-plus million contract will have to be involved. So what do you make of this dynamic? Because part of me says, from a perspective standpoint, 5 o'clock on Sunday, I was under the now false impression that the Heat weren't going to be active whatsoever, that we were basically going to see the same team come back. They've now gotten rid of Whiteside. They've added Jimmy Butler. And it feels like the Heat fans are kind of riding this wave of momentum. Like, hey, let's add Bradley Beal, too. I don't know if this is actually realistic or not.
There's no way it seems realistic to me. From the if it looks from look, what the Heat have done, is to your point, it's almost it's surprising and it points better. And it's more interesting for this season, right?
Oh, for sure.
First of all, they have a better player in Jimmy Walker than anybody on the roster. And from that standpoint, they're better going into this year. They got rid of the confusing headache to me of Hassan Whiteside. I still don't understand. He could put up big numbers, but he wasn't played and he didn't fit. And I'm just confused by the whole Whiteside thing. But from the Bradley Beal thing to me, let's look at from Washington's side. There's only he's 26 years old. He's a very good player. Mm-hmm. He rates the same as Jimmy Butler. Okay, you look at all the analytics and all that. So from a talent level, he's on the same level as Jimmy Butler. So a good player. You're not going to just say, "Oh, let's just get rid of Bradley Beal," unless you're dumping the and you mentioned it the awful contract of John Wall with him. And in which case, Washington, you're saying, and they haven't hired a general manager yet. So
confusing, too.
So they must either they have him and he's saying, clean the decks before I come in. I don't want to come in and my first move be getting rid of the whole roster. So I want the decks clean before I get there. Or they're doing that for him, for whoever they would hire. So the only way they would trade Bradley Beal is to package him with this awful contract. That's $65 million next year. Wall's like $42 million, so I don't know how the Heat could, first of all, just from a salary cap, do it. But second of all, why would you take on John Wall's contract? Here he's coming off an Achilles injury. He's had other injuries, and he hasn't won anything. And so it doesn't make any sense to me. If you were talking Bradley Beal, sure. But it's not going to be that easy.
No, it's not. And, you know, part of getting Jimmy Butler here and looking at the way they've been able to keep most of their good players, I know they got rid of Josh Richardson, but I mean, this team, you know, I think you said it best earlier, they're probably around 6-7, somewhere in there, depending on how you rate the other Eastern Conference squads. And we don't know Kawhi Leonard, if he doesn't return to Toronto, that'll change things certainly. But this team's better than it was, still not a contender. And I do like this mix of players they seem to still have around Jimmy Butler, and it can be a nice starting point to next offseason. But if you decide you're going to trade basically the rest of the roster for Bradley Beal and John Wall, you know, then we're getting into a territory where kind of like we're discussing the Lakers. They only have a few guys on the roster right now, and it worked during the Big Three era with the Heat when it was just Chalmers and then everybody else before they added the rest of the roster. But, like, you're talking about the top end of the most top-end talent when you're doing that with LeBron and with Dwayne Wade and certainly Chris Bosh. Like, this time around, to your point, like, Butler and Beal to me are stars. They're not necessarily superstars. And so would that be better off for this team moving forward, or would you just be better off waiting till next offseason when Bradley Beal is a year closer to his contract expiring? And if the Wizards still are run like the way they're being run into the ground right now, maybe they'd be looking to get rid of that contract, and you wouldn't have to take on John.
Yeah, or somebody else. You move into next year, you got a whole another list of options and yes. possibilities. But you know, it's one thing for the Lakers to say, look, we're going to get LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard. The Heat would be in the same financial, you know, ceiling yeah. relatively with Butler, Beal, and John Wall. And you're not going to win with that. You're not, if you're doing that, if you're making moves like that, you're saying this can get us a title, or we be in contention for a title. And you're really not moving into contention with those players. So, I you know, it's fun to talk about getting Bradley Beal, but when you look at the reality of it, it looks pretty impossible to do.
It does seem that way. Again, once you get this momentum moving in one direction and the Heat fans start to feel emboldened, and it's like, yeah, we got Butler. We never thought that would be possible. Let's get Bradley Beal.
And we got Whiteside, Rudy Whiteside's contract. Who thought that was fine? Yeah, and so they made a lot. They made some good moves that put them in good position, not only for this year, better position this year, but their position moving ahead to do something too.
Yes, and we'll continue to talk about what's going on with the Heat, certainly NBA free agency. We've got a bunch of texts rolling in here, 560-22, so we'll come back, kick off the 9 o'clock hour with some of that next here on QAM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.